If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to begin a brand new sermon series today. I felt like the Lord just dropped a concept into my heart. And to tell you the truth, I'm not sure exactly where it's going to lead us. But He is, and that's okay. I trust Him. Don't you this morning? Amen. And the title of this new series we're starting is Amplified. Amplified. Let's put that on up there. Better, bolder, bigger. Amplified. Better, bolder, bigger. I believe that God wants to amplify what He's begun to do in our lives. You know what it means to amplify? It means, in terms of volume, to make louder, but it also means to increase in size, in scope, in power. How many know God is a God of more? Amen? And so we're going to go on this journey together. We are going to look at how God wants to amplify our lives, how God wants to take us to the next level, how God wants to do more in our lives. And in this first message this morning, I just want to read one scripture. It's found in Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Judges 3:31, we'll have it on the screen for you. It says this: After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Amen. So I'm sure you probably have figured out the entire scope of the message from that very clear verse, haven't you? How many have? No, maybe not. Okay. Well, let's look into it a little further. The title of this first message in the Amplified series, the title of today's message is More. Simply more. That God wants to do more. The scripture says He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. How many believe that today? How many believe there's more in 2020? Amen. Thank God for 2019. Thank God for the blessings. Thank God for the miracles. Thank God for the insights and for all the things He did for us. Amen. Last year. But this is a new year. This is a new time. This is a new period. And God wants to do more in our church, in your lives, in your homes, in your businesses, in everything connected with us and connected with this planet, with His creation. God Almighty wants to do more. Amen. Now let's look a little bit into this passage, see if we can amplify this scripture a little bit. The time period covered here in the book of Judges was intended to be an era of advancement for God's people. By this time, they should have been fully enjoying the promised land, but their inconsistency in obeying God and their imitation of the idolatrous culture around them led them to failure. Enter Shamgar. The subject of our Bible verse today. The last verse of Judges chapter 3 and a few verses in chapter 5 comprise the sum total of his biblical biography. After Ehud came Shamgar of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. The verses just prior to our text today tell the story of Ehud, a valiant left-handed judge who led the people to victory against the Moabites. Israel's peace with the Moabites then lasted for 80 years. Now, when I refer to a judge, this is the book of Judges. And the judges here are not the type of judges you think of in a court of law, but they were basically the deliverers. There was a pattern that developed here in this period of Israel's history where the people would be in God's favor, and they would become confident, and they would turn from God. They would do their own thing. How many know we human beings have a tendency to turn from God and do our own thing sometimes? Well, the nation of Israel would do that, and so God would allow to discipline them. He would allow oppressors to come and oppress them, and then when they repented and they called upon God and God felt like it was enough, he would send a deliverer or a judge to come and to be instrumental in setting them free from their oppressors. And this pattern was repeated over and over again. And so this scripture says that after one of the judges or deliverers, Ehud, came this young man, Shamgar. And as I said, there's not much in scripture about him. But we're going to look a little bit at his story today. It says the Israelites had been at peace for 80 years after Ehud set them free from the oppression of the Moabites. But the Israelites had more than one enemy. Wouldn't it be nice in life if there were only one problem at a time to solve? You know, we kind of get through a problem, get through a trial, get through a difficulty, and we take a deep breath. And we, feels good. I got through that. Yeah, well, don't look up. Because it seems like, right, there's another trial, another difficulty coming around the bend. The Philistines were another enemy of the nation of Israel. Many of you know that. They would frequently invade and plunder Israel. Judges 5 verse 6 describes the lack of public safety caused by the raids of the Philistines. It says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Verse 7 says, village life in Israel ceased. And verse 8 continues, not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. This desperate set of circumstances motivated one man, Shamgar, to remedy the situation. The Bible simply describes his valor. He struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Now, that doesn't maybe sound like much, but we're going to unpack that today for the next few minutes. I believe, as I said, God has more for each and every one of us. But what holds back what God wants to do isn't God. Okay? Can we own up to that? Can we admit that? The bottleneck in the flow of what God wants to do isn't with God. It's with us. It's with our willingness to move forward, our willingness to step out, our willingness to have God do more in our lives, to take us to a new place. And so this morning, from this relatively obscure verse, from this relatively obscure man in Israel's history, we want to answer the question in the next few minutes. What are the first steps for those who want to see God do more in their lives? You may be here today. You may say, Pastor Tim, you know, I've heard this before. I've heard you preach on it before. And, you know, in theory, I'm in agreement with you. I want God to do more. How many want God to do more in your lives? Almost half of you. That's good. Okay. Hopefully more than that of us do. We want to see God do more. But what does that mean? What does that look like? How do I see that come to pass? We've established God is willing. How, if I am willing for God to do more, what do I need to do? What steps do I need to take? And so this morning we're going to answer that question. What are the first steps for those who want to see God do more in your lives? And I pray that God will quicken this word, bring alive this word into our spirits today. What are the first steps for those who want to see God do more in their lives? The first one is this: start where you are. Start where you are. Where was Shamgar? What was the starting point for him? He was living in a time and a place when his life and property and the lives and property of his family and countrymen were at the mercy of the Philistine thieves and thugs. He could have seen himself as helpless and hopeless, but he didn't. There was a pretty good article in the paper a while back that describes the type of attitude Shamgar had. The title of the article was "Job Anxiety Can Lead to Career Success," and the subtitle was this: "Psychologist says those who take pressure as part of life handle it best." The article by Professor Salvatore R. Maddy included the three C's of stress. He said that the three C's of stress were these: commitment, control, and challenge. He described commitment by saying, when stress hits you, stay involved and don't pull out of the situation. He described control by saying, take charge of the stressful situation. You should control the situation, not the stress. And he describes challenge this way: think of the stress as normal. It's an opportunity to learn. Don't let yourself fall into self-pity. It sounds like long before Professor Maddie described the three C's, that Shamgar had a pretty good handle on it. He didn't wait for the perfect circumstances or the perfect materials to start. He started right where he was. You see, even the most self-sufficient of us can be trampled down under a weight of worry and fear caused by the stress of life's multiplied problems. How many know life brings stress? The only surefire way to avoid stress is not to live. And sadly, many people choose that as a way of ending their life. They choose as a way of escaping stress. Stress is a part of life. Shamgar didn't wait for the perfect circumstances. We shouldn't either. That's one of the many reasons why we need God. The communists used to say that only weak people need God. And today, in today's culture, that's what the pseudo-intellectuals say, isn't it? Oh, you need God because you're weak. You need God because you need a crutch. One of the communist leaders called religion the opiate of the masses. He said, you need God. You need him because it's a crutch, because you're weak. You know what I say to that? Guilty as charged. I'm weak, and I need the power of Almighty God in my life. How about you this morning? Yes. Everybody's weak. Everybody has limits to their strength. In the book of Judges, in the past, I mentioned God raised up several judges, and he placed his spirit upon their leaders in spite of their weaknesses. Remember Samson? Samson was one of the judges that God raised up. Samson had weaknesses. Samson had shortcomings in his life, but God raised him up and used him by his mighty power. God can do amazing things in the lives of weak people who acknowledge their weakness, who turn to him as their source of strength and power. Three times in Scripture, in Proverbs 3:24, James 4:6, and 1 Peter 5:5, the Word of God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Shamgar did not wait until he had an army of thousands to lead in battle. And you and I don't have to wait until things get better before we advance. Sometimes that's the biggest factor that hinders our moving forward for God. Well, you know, I'm just waiting for things to clear up a little bit. You know, I have these issues in my life and my family, and you know, there are things at work, and Pastor Tim, you know, I really want to move forward for God, but you know, I just have all these circumstances. Guess what? You're always going to have circumstances. That's right. How many know that's true? How many know if we wait for things to clear up, they never will? Come on. Well, I'm just waiting for the optimal time. I'm just waiting for the right time. Can I give you a little clue? The right time is now. The right time is now. Many of us are in the same place we were January 12, 2019. We're in the same place 1 year later because we were waiting for the right time then, and 1 year later, we're waiting for the right time now. Well, guess what? This is a leap year. So we have an extra day to delay. And many of us will. I say the time is now. I say the past is history. I say the circumstances will never be ideal. I say there'll never be a time when we're problem-free. There'll never be a time when we're stress-free. There'll never be a time when all our ducks are in a row. But I say God wants to do something new and fresh in our lives, in our church, in our homes, in our communities, in our businesses, in our workplaces. God wants to do something new and fresh and right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Start where you are. Start where you are. Say, God, whatever situation I find myself in, Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I want you to do more in me and through me. Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to run. I'm ready to go on the path you have for me. Lord, I'm not waiting for ideal circumstances. I'm not waiting for that promotion. I'm not waiting, for that pay raise. I'm not waiting for that situation to be cleared up. I'm not waiting for all my problems to go away. Lord, I'm going to start where I am. Shamgar was not in the best place in life. Shamgar was oppressed like the rest of his countrymen, but he said, now is the time. Church, now is the time. Hallelujah. God wants to do something new and fresh in your life and in my life right now. How many are up for that this morning? Hallelujah. Start where you are. Stop waiting for perfect circumstances in your life. What's the second thing? Second step, first of the first steps that people who want to see God move in their life, who want more from God, need to take. First step is start where you are. The second one is this: use what you have. Use what you have. Shamgar didn't have a sword or a spear. Didn't have a shield either. He didn't have the basics. He didn't have the basic equipment he needed for warfare. Didn't matter. He had an ox goad. Say, what's an ox goad? An ox goad was a farm implement. Oxen were used to plow the fields, and to assure their cooperation, the plowman used a long wooden rod anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in length and up to 2 inches in diameter to prod these animals into working. On the end of the goad was a sharp point on one end. On the other end was a broad chiseled-like blade used to clean the plow of clay or roots. The farmer's tool became a lethal weapon in the hands of the man of God. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a spear. He had a farm implement. He had an ox goad. But he said, this is what I have, and this is what I'll use. You may not have the monetary resources or the education you think it takes to succeed. You may not think you have the resources to move forward and to be used of God and to have God do more in you and through you. But I want you to know, you can move ahead for God with what you have. You can move ahead for God with your resources. You can move ahead for God with your education. Now, I'm not saying we should be satisfied and never seek to do more. I'm not saying there's not a time when we shouldn't want to advance our education. We shouldn't want to increase our resources. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we should not be in the process of developing ourselves and taking opportunities to advance and to learn all we could. But what I'm saying is we don't have to wait till we have what we think are the ideal resources in our lives. God has placed a certain amount of resources in your life. They're at your disposal right now. And God says that you are to use what you have, your knowledge, your ability, your experience, your giftings. And God says, use what you have right now. Well, if I could just sing and play the guitar like Brother Chad. If I could just play those drums like Caleb. Man, you were smoking today, brother. I don't know how you move your hands that fast. I really don't. Well, if I could just do that. Or if I could speak. Or, you know, if I could do what Brother Dave Nichols does. I tell you what, man, he's just got it all together. If I could just do what somebody, if I just had those gifts, man, if I just had an education, man, if I just had the financial resources, you know, I could, if I just had more time, right? Because I'm just so busy. You ever ask somebody if they're busy and have them tell you no? They usually don't, do they? Man, if I just had more time, you know? Can you think of what would happen in the kingdom of God if God only used people that have an abundance of time? The kingdom of God would come to a halt. Because God uses busy people. If I had this, if only. God says, use what you have. Use what you have. Remember when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush and instructed him to lead the people of God out of bondage from the land of Egypt? Moses is like, who, me? You talking to me? I can't do that. God says to Moses in Exodus 4, what's that in your hand? Moses said, well, Lord, I have this shepherd's staff. God says, that'll do. Throw it on the ground. Became a serpent. Whoa. I don't know what Moses' immediate reaction was, but I know what mine would have been. To put as much distance between myself and that serpent, I would have set a new record for the mile, I'll tell you. And God said, pick it up by the tail. Now, I don't spend anywhere near enough time around snakes to be an expert on how to handle them. Because as I said before, I would set a new mile running away from them. But from what I hear, you don't grab them by the tail. You grab them by the back of the, back behind the head to get control. God said, pick it up by the tail. And Moses did. It became a staff again. And that was God's way of just saying to Moses, Moses, yeah, I got you. Thank you. Have you heard me preach this before? I got you. Moses, it's not about you. And we need to hear that sometimes, don't we?
Yes.
Well, if I just had all the advantages that so-and-so has, man, I could really do something for God. It's not about you. It's not about me. We are just the instruments. We are just the vessels. Hallelujah. And God has equipped you and he's equipped me with everything we need to be used of God, to have God do more in our lives right now.
Yes.
Shamgar didn't have the weapons of warfare. He had an ox goad and God said, that's enough. What is it that you have that God's placed in your life that you can use to succeed, that you can use for the glory of God? Sometimes the only thing a person has is an idea. In Christian life, we would call those ideas vision. And if God gives you a vision, you need to seek him and act upon it. Little shepherd boy David had nothing but a sling, but he defeated a giant and set the enemies of God to rout. For a widow woman in Elijah's day who was starving to death along with her son, she had a little bit of meal in the bottom of a barrel. And God multiplied that through the prophet, and she and her son had enough to live on. For a little boy, in Jesus' day, he just had a little sack lunch. But God took it and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. For Samson, it was the jawbone of a donkey. For Shamgar, it was an ox goad. I heard a story about a young man, 26-year-old young man named Kyle McDonald, who set out to prove something. It's an amazing story. He had a red paper clip. You know those paper clips you get, and some of them are colored. You know, they have the coating on them, the color. Yeah, a red paper clip. And he somehow struck up a deal with somebody, traded it for something. I don't remember what it was, something small, you know. And then he got in that trade, he traded it, And after, I don't know how many trades, but after a series of trades, guess what his last trade was for? What he acquired in his last trade? A house. A house. All beginning with a red paperclip. Now, and you can look it up. Kyle MacDonald, look up red paperclip. You can Google it, right? You can Google anything, right? Look it up. Now, if a 26-year-old young man using his natural ability can make a series of trades starting with a red paperclip and end up with a house, can you imagine what a spirit-filled child of the living God, the creator of the universe, can do with the resources that God has placed in their lives? Can you just imagine? Come on, church. The possibilities are thrilling because we can't even conceive of them. Amen? What can God do in your life? You know, the only thing that limits what God can do in your life with the resources you have right now, the only thing that limits that is your unbelief, or my unbelief, our hesitancy, our lack of yieldedness to God. What is it for you? Don't wait for the ideal circumstances. Don't wait for the right time. Don't wait till you have all the perfect resources. If I only just had what somebody else had, you have the resources. You have the giftings. You have the abilities. You have the time that God wants you to have to do what He wants you to do. Start where you are and use what you have for God to do more in your life. How many are hearing the word of the Lord this morning? Amen. What's the third beginning step for those who want to see God do more in their lives? Do what you can. Do what you can. Start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. Defending himself against 600 Philistines with an ox goad definitely elevates Shamgar to the status of champion. You talk about a hero. This guy was it. It doesn't matter if he did it all at once or on separate occasions. All that matters is he did what he could. How often do we fail to make a contribution because we mistakenly conclude that our contribution won't matter? Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 41, that even a cup of cold water given in his name is significant. It doesn't take much to give a cup of cold water, does it? Do what you can. Well, I can't do much. You know, for people who want to see God do more in and through their lives, who may not be in the best place, who may have limited resources, who may not feel like they can do much, it would amaze you what they can do. No, let me make that personal. It would amaze you what you can do. And what I often find, and I've shared this before, you know, modesty is a good thing. Humility is a good thing. But too many times we have this false modesty, this pseudo-humility. I'm just nobody special. I don't have any special ability. There's not much I can do. I don't have anything to contribute. I can't do anything. Poor little you. Poor little you. God somehow blessed the other 7.5 billion people on the earth with gifts and abilities and resources, but of all the people on the earth, he left you out. Boy, you got a raw deal. No, you didn't. God loves you the same as he loves everyone else. Amen? Amen. God has resourced you and gifted you the same as he has everybody else. Not exactly the same way, but to the same extent. Heard a story about a North Carolina woman who lost both legs in a traffic accident. Stella Sieber and her cousin were returning home after a weekend of visiting relatives when they saw an SUV in front of them hydroplane and flip over in a rainstorm. When they pulled over to help, another car lost control on the wet pavement and hit Sieber's car, trapping her between the two cars and instantly amputating her two legs. She was preparing to go on a mission trip to Haiti when the accident occurred. She obviously didn't make that trip. But after a time of healing, she did travel to Louisiana to help after Hurricane Katrina. Listen to what she says. She says, "It was an important part of my life before the accident, and being a recipient of help only enforced why I wanted to go back to the things I had done before." She now shows other amputees how she can still dance, travel, and exercise. She even redesigned her workspace to make it wheelchair accessible. She says she does not hesitate to stop to help a driver in trouble again because people have been good to her. She says, "Had other people not stopped for me, I wouldn't be here today." What an inspirational story. Someone could say, "Man, life, I got a raw deal. Dedicated my life to God, stopped to help someone, and what do I get for it? Two amputated legs." And she could have just sat in her wheelchair and bemoaned her fate and smothered herself in self-pity the rest of her life. But she says, "No, I still have resources. I still have ability to touch lives. I still have the ability to do things for God." What excuse do you and I have? What excuse do we have to just sit in our self-pity, to just keep unto ourselves, to just say, "Hey, you know, life, I don't have the resources and the things I need"? You may feel unworthy. You may feel weak. And in a sense, that's true. All of us are. But for God to use us, means he has to use that which is unworthy, because we all fall short of his standard of perfection. It takes God to make us usable. Amen? It takes God to make us worthy. God isn't looking for people who feel like they have it all. God is looking for people who are available. God is looking for people who say, "God, I want you to do more in and through my life." You may not get your name in the headlines or achieve your 15 minutes of fame, but you'll be blessed if you're ready for God to do more in and through your life. What can one person do? In Judges 3, there's only one verse about this man. As I said, there's very little else about him. But God gave him as an example to you and to me. What are the first steps for those who want to see God do more in and through their lives? First, just start where you are. Don't wait for ideal circumstances. Don't wait for the perfect time. The perfect time will never come. If everything just has to be just so, the perfect time is now. It's now. Start where you are. Use what you have. Don't bemoan the fact that you don't have someone else's gifts, someone else's financial resources, someone else's connections, someone else's life circumstance. Use what you have. Use the abilities you have. Use the time you have. Use the relationships you have. Use what God has placed into your life right now. And thirdly, do what you can. Pastor Tim, I can't do much. Yeah, but you can do something. You can be available to do something. And I believe God wants to speak to our hearts and say to us, as we go through this brand new year, this brand new decade, that he will do more, that he will do so much more than he's ever done before in our lives, if we're just willing to take those first steps, to start where we are, to use what we have, to do what we can for him. Pastor Tim, that just seems so small, and I just seems so insignificant. The scripture says, "Despise not the day of small beginnings." Remember Kyle MacDonald in the red paperclip. God can do amazing things in and through your life. God can do more. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to do more? Or would you say, Pastor Tim, you know, my life's just fine like it is. I have a schedule, I stick to it. I have my free time. I pay my tithes. You know, I'm in a good place. My level of involvement is, I'm comfortable. Pastor Tim, I don't want to rock the boat. Because I can tell you this. This I know. When God does more in our lives, see, full disclosure. Don't ever leave here and say, oh, Pastor Tim pulled a bait and switch. You know, he didn't tell us the whole story. I know this much. When you and I get busy for God, when we allow God to do more in and through our lives, the enemy of our souls will ramp up the attacks. The difficulties will seem at times to multiply. The challenges during periods of our lives may seem to be greater. How many know this? Come on. Gospel truth. Things will get a little messier because when God uses us, he involves us in other people's lives. And how many know this? Other people's lives get messy. Not ours, but other people's, right? And so we get involved with other people. We get involved in their mess, their dysfunction. And God, and our schedule's messed up. And if only I hadn't listened to that preacher. Things were so good back there on January 12th, 2020, and now he had to go messing with me. And now I wanted God to do more. And now look at all this upheaval in my life. Full disclosure, that will happen. So if your chief goal in life is not to rock the boat, not to upset the apple cart, whatever metaphor you want to use, you say, I'm in a good place, I just want to coast, I just want to move forward, then just completely disregard everything I've said in the last 40 minutes or so. But if you want God to do more, if you are ready for the adventure that your Creator has for you, then it's time to say, God, I'm going to start where I am. God, I'm going to use what I have. God, I'm going to do what I can. Lord, I'm ready for you to mess up the boat. I'm ready for you to mess up the apple cart. Lord, I'm ready to move forward for you because I want more in my life.